let's have a small sermon, a small meditation on the Word of God from Luke 11. If you would turn to Luke 11 in your Bibles. Well-known section, but if you haven't read this in a while, you may be surprised at how curt it seems Jesus is in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11 will remind ourselves that this passage, not only well known to us, but perhaps you would pray it differently if someone asked you to recite it. This is the shorter version of the Lord's Prayer as Jesus gave it to the disciples, specifically to the answer of one disciple in Luke 11. The other is famously from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at this as we've opened this prayer service once a month. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer sort of in small pieces as we go, a little reflection tonight. From Luke 11, we'll read just verses 1 through 4 here. This is God's Word. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" The small reading of God's Word from Luke 11 reminds us how crisp Jesus' teaching was. They had obviously watched the model of his prayer as taught in the first century. Often rabbis had recited prayers, memorized prayers that their disciples would follow. They would follow their rabbi day by day, and they would spend, as Jesus' did, years with them. And so it's possible that as they observed his prayers, they wanted to know how he prayed. And this was the crisp, curt response that Jesus gave. But I want to ask you, how do you pray? Maybe it's better to ask the person nearest you, how do they pray? Are there certain tropes, certain repetitions, certain sounds, certain styles, certain names that you say when praying specifically, consistently, maybe even constantly? How do you pray? We know now how Levi prays. But asking this question of ourselves draws us back to say, if we were asked this question, teach us to pray, how would you teach someone else to pray? If someone said to you, how do you pray? Teach me how to pray. You'd immediately be engaged. You'd say, well, I do pray. I try and speak to God. That was the theme that we picked up from last month. Talking to God conversationally as one who has been allowed into his presence, who has been made a child. And that emphasis will close our small message here tonight. But in what sense should every prayer be a mirror of the Lord's Prayer? In what sense should this be a model for prayer, or a pattern of prayer, some have called it? What's your particular pattern in prayer? Do you know that every single one of you have a pattern in prayer? Do you know that every single one of you actually could mark out the kind of consistent phrases you use or the way you address God? Do you only say, Father, Lord, as some did when I was growing up in the faith? Jesus, I just want to say. They would just say time and again, Jesus, I just want to say. He's like, Jesus heard you the first time, but you've said it 30 times in the last minute. Did you notice? Simple things like that. To be honest about, you know, as we look at ourselves and we say, okay, well, what are my patterns in prayer? Because there's something presumed about what Jesus says. He says, when you pray, he presumes you will be praying. And when you pray, say, just as Jesus presumed that his disciples would pray, this is the second time in his public ministry that Jesus gave them the same form of words. Notice, they're not even the same in Luke 11 and Matthew 6, if you were to study them. They're not exactly the same, and it's possible that Jesus taught this a couple times. As he did things in his ministry several times, this might have been one where he taught them a couple different times this form or pattern of prayer. But having warned them against vain repetition, it might be important for us to hear, when you pray, say, but don't say it the same way all the time, so that you're guilty of not heeding the warning that Jesus gave to not vainly repeat phrases in prayer. But we can see the Lord's Prayer as a sweet gift of a pattern or a model for us to pray. And so as you meditate, think about the Lord's Prayer, Lord willing, even this week or this whole month. We'll pick up more thoughts as they go, but we look at this and we see that this prayer is a pattern for all Christians. And it might be that Jesus is saying, when you pray, say, or when you pray, mean this when you say. Think about speaking to God as a father. Think about your sins. Think about what you petition him for. Those three ideas alone could govern and model a prayer for you tonight or tomorrow morning when you're going to bed. Jesus is teaching that prayer will be acceptable when and only when the attitudes and the thoughts and the desires express a fit pattern. And that's why it's instructive for us to say, Jesus, you're my Savior. You're my friend, as John 15:15 says, as we mentioned last time. Let me speak to you in a way that is meaningful. Let me speak to you in a way that lets you know my heart and mind are connected to what I'm saying. This is not just repetitious speaking. This is meaningful. Did Jesus just intend that they should repeat these words parrot fashion? Was this a pattern of parrot prayers? Maybe none of you would think that, but imagine this. I want you to imagine you're in a relationship with someone that you love very much. But when it came to talking about that most intimate of subjects, love, someone would talk to you like this. You'd say, well, do you really love me? And they say, the best thing that ever happened to me is you. Say, okay, can we talk about our relationship? Where's this going? Something like that, if you're in a pattern. And they say to you, you're my everything. And everything else is just everything else. You say, do you think we have a future together? And the person says, life isn't always wonderful, but you are. And you're like, are you talking to me? Are you talking? I love you. And the other person responds, thank you for bringing joy into my life and beauty into the world and love to my heart. You're like, what is going on with this conversation, right? They've memorized some Hallmark sentiments and they are repeating them to you. How would you feel? You'd probably feel fairly unloved. Every single face directly is smiling at this illustration. I mean, it was like, it hit me too. I was like, could you imagine if someone just spoke to you in memorized words from someone else? It's not just that it's sappy or sentimental or anything like that, but imagine that you're in this most intimate of relationships with someone else and all they have are other people's words. I think that's at the heart of some of that warning against vain repetition. And so we guard our hearts, right? We try and be attentive to the patterns that we pray, and we ask the Lord to communicate more freely. Remember, as we said last time, we're just talking to God. And now in this practice, in these evening services given to this once a month, we have a definition of a pattern for prayer, a model for prayer in the Lord's Prayer. But the idea is that we would order our prayers informed by what Jesus said. But we don't have to devise memorized phrases. And when we gather together in this way, maybe we're continuing a conversation, not just with God, but with one another. We're bearing one another's burdens as we remember how it was spoken when we petitioned tonight. Or we hear someone else's praise and say, that was beautiful and poetic and expressive of God's glory in creation and salvation, and I want to model that. Does that make sense? You're learning from one another. And you learn from one another as well in petitions, and you become aware of someone else's needs, and you intercede for them, and you supplicate before the throne of God for them. This is all part of growing in prayer. To pray with ideas that Jesus gave us helps us to pray according to God's will. That's part of the pattern here. Some scholars use praying the scriptures. We spent 26 weeks reading through the Psalms and what I call the prayer book of the Bible, using the Psalms as prayers that we would then inform our own prayer. So technically, you have big portions, a big chunk, one whole big book of the Bible. You could just use Psalm 119 for the rest of your days to help train you in your prayer. But one phrase I love particularly, you might have heard me say it before, it's answering speech. Using the Bible to respond back to God. God speaks and we respond. Our speech is answering speech to God's revelation. Did that make sense to you? Whether it's something he's declaring about his justice or his holiness or his righteousness, I will then speak to God accordingly. But so many different ways. It can be in our praise. It could be in our repentance. It can be in our adoration as well as in our intercession. It can be in our supplication as well as in our exaltation of God and his glorious majesty, high and holy and lifted up. And we can join our voices together with the angels, the seraphim who are singing constantly, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." How about opening one of your prayers like that, informed not just by Isaiah 6, but what the angels sing in Revelation? This is a way to have answering speech inform our prayers according to the Word of God. Meditation on the Lord's Prayer in this way helps us use this as a model or a guide that instructs us. And so I think I've said that enough that you fully understand it, but tonight I want you to see our time of prayer as an opportunity to practice, to just sit loose and relax. Yes, people are going to hear you. They're going to be sitting next to you. But use it as an opportunity to pray and train yourself based on what you hear from the Word of God in Psalm 22, in Luke 11, and also in Psalm 89. Any number of passages could be chosen for praise or for petition or for thanksgiving. But these are the three we've chosen tonight. So I'll have you open your Bibles. We'll look at them and they'll inform the way perhaps you pray. Or you might just want to exalt in praise for something else. You have that prerogative according to the Word of God. But know that part of what the Lord's Prayer does for us is that it helps us to approach God in adoration and in trust. He is our Father. And we love him. And I'm going to close with that in a moment. But we also may need to admit sin. Notice how that question of forgiveness is the longest portion of the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, discussing forgiveness of sins and forgiving others. We acknowledge his work and his worth in praise and in worship. We ask that our needs may be met, not only for ourselves, but for others. That's part of what intercession and supplication is. We accept what God's will is for our lives as he's working it out in his providence. But one quick thing I'm going to try and put like a hanger in your mind to hang an idea on. Have you ever argued with God? Have you ever struggled in such a way that you found yourself speaking like the book of Job with God? Or maybe you found yourself very much like Jacob in Genesis 32, right? Wrestled with God all night. That can be a profound situation to walk through. And I just open it up for you to remind your heart that that too is biblical. It's where to talk with God honestly, because remember, he already knows your heart and your mind. It's you sometimes who are equating your will and your words together with the will of God as you speak with God in that intimate and honest way. Finally, we close with adhering to God in faithfulness through thick and thin, trusting in the Lord in all things. Trusting in him, believing in him, and finding that prayer strengthens us, strengthens our confidence and our trust in the Lord. But to close tonight, I want to remind you of something beautiful. When Jesus was in one of his most trying times in his ministry, 3 years we know of his ministry, but there in the Garden of Gethsemane in the last night, Mark 14 renders a certain expression that we're allowed to use in prayer. Do you remember what that was? He says to his Father in the most intimate of ways in that garden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." You remember, it was as if he were sweating great drops of blood. In that amazingly trying time for Jesus, he said one word in Mark 14, "Abba." Have you ever prayed to God with that sort of intimate, fatherly love and concern? If you haven't, know that it's not just in Mark 14 that Jesus models for us what's possible, but it's in Romans 8 and in Galatians 4 that this is our part of our inheritance as children of God. And so I quote, just quoting Romans 8, "You have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." The way it's said in Galatians 4:6, it's said here in Romans 8:15 through 17. What a great encouragement as we gather together tonight for prayer together. Let me pray for us before we begin. Our Lord, as we often humble ourselves to hear your word, it changes us. So we ask now that you would bless us in a time of prayer, that we would enjoy what we've sung in that sweet hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that as we break for moments to pray and give you praise and petition you, O Lord, that you would strengthen us, that we would hear from others and we would be blessed and we would be encouraged and we would be edified and we might even borrow phrases from someone else's intimate communication with you. Often we just pray quietly or by ourselves, but we pray now that you would be with us and strengthen us, build us up in community, in intimacy, and in love, as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.